अथ पञ्चत्रिंशः सर्गः ततः शूर्पणखावाक्यम् तच्छ्रुत्वा रोमहर्षणम् सचिवानभ्यनुज्ञाय कार्यम् बुद्ध्वा जगामः तत्कार्यमनुगम्यान्तर्यथावदुपलभ्य च दोषाणाम् च गुणानाम् च सम्प्रधार्य बलाबलम् इति कर्तव्यमित्येव कृत्वा निश्चयमात्मनः स्थिरबुद्धिस्ततो रम्याम् यानशालाम् जगामः यानशालाम् ततो गत्वा प्रच्छन्नम् राक्षसाधिपः सूतम् सञ्चोदयामास रथः संयुज्यतामिति एवमुक्तः क्षणेनैव सारथिर्लघुविक्रमः रथम् संयोजयामास तस्याभिमतमुत्तमम् कामगम् रथमास्थाय काञ्चनम् रत्नभूषितम् पिशाचवदनैर्युक्तम् खरैः कनकभूषणैः मेघप्रतिमनादेन सतेन धनदानुजः राक्षसाधिपतिः श्रीमान्ययौ नदनदीपतिम् तश्वेतबालव्यजनश्वेतच्छत्रोदशाननः स्निग्धवैदूर्यसङ्काशस्तप्तकाञ्चनभूषणः दशग्रीवो विंशतिभुजो दर्शनीयपरिच्छदः त्रिदशारिर्मुनीन्द्रघ्नो दशशीर्ष इवाद्रिराट् कामगम् रथमास्थाय शुशुभे राक्षसाधिपः विद्युन्मण्डलवान्मेघः सबलाक इवाम्बरे सशैलसागरानूपम् वीर्यवानवलोकयन् नानापुष्पफलैर्वृक्षैरनुकीर्णम् सहस्रशः शीतमङ्गलतो याभिः पद्मिनीभिः समम् ततः विशालैराश्रमपदैर्वेदिमद्भिरलङ्कृतम् कदल्यटविसंशोभम् नारिकेलोपशोभितम् सालैस्तालैस्तमालैश्च तरुभिश्च सुपुष्पितैः अत्यन्तनियताहारैः शोभितम् परमर्षिभिः नागैः सुपर्णैर्गन्धर्वैः किन्नरैश्च सहस्रशः जितकामैश्च सिद्धैश्च चारणैश्चोपशोभितम् आजैर्वैखानसैर्माषैर्बालखिल्यैर्मरीचिपैः दिव्याभरणमाल्याभिर्दिव्यरूपाभिरावृतम् क्रीडारतविधिज्ञाभिरप्सरोभिः सहस्रशः सेवितम् देवपत्नीभिः श्रीमतीभिरुपासितम् देवदानवसङ्घैश्च चरितम् त्वमृताशिभिः हंसक्रौञ्चप्लवाकीर्णम् सारसैः सम्प्रसादितम् वैदूर्यप्रस्तरम् स्निग्धम् सान्द्रम् सागरतेजसा पाण्डुराणि विशालानि दिव्यमाल्ययुतानि च तूर्यगीताभिजुष्टानि विमानानि समन्ततः तपसाजितलोकानाम् कामगान्यभिसम्पतन् गन्धर्वाप्सरसश्चैव ददर्शधनदानुजः निर्यासरसमूलानाम् चन्दनानाम् सहस्रशः वनानि पश्यन् सौम्यानि घ्राणतृप्तिकराणि च अगुरूणाम् च मुख्यानाम् वनान्युपवनानि च तक्कोलानाम् च जात्यानाम् फलिनाम् च सुगन्धिनाम् पुष्पाणि च तमालस्य गुल्मानि मरिचस्य च मुक्तानाम् च समूहानि शुष्यमाणानि तीरतः शैलानि प्रवरांश्चैव प्रवालनि च यांस्तथा काञ्चनानि च शृङ्गाणि राजतानि तथैव च प्रस्रवाणि मनोज्ञानि प्रसन्नान्यद्भुतानि च धनधान्योपपन्नानि स्त्रीरत्नैरावृतानि च हस्त्यश्वरथगाढानि नगराणि विलोकयन् तम् समम् सर्वतः स्निग्धम् मृदु संस्पर्शमारुतम् अनूपे सिन्धुराजस्य ददर्श त्रिदिवोपमम् तत्रापश्यत् स मेघाभम् न्यग्रोधम् मुनिभिर्वृतम् समन्ताद्यस्य ताः शाखाः शतयोजनमायताः यस्य हस्तिनमादाय महाकायम् च कच्छपम् भक्षार्थम् गरुडः शाखामाजगाम महाबलः तस्य ताम् सहसा शाखाम् भारेण पतगोत्तमः सुपर्णः पर्णबहुलाम् बभञ्जाथ महाबलः तत्र वैखानसामाशा बालखिल्यामरीचिपाः आजाबभूवुर्धूम्राश्च सङ्गताः परमर्षयः तेषाम् दयार्थम् गरुडस्ताम् शाखाम् शतयोजनाम् भग्नामादाय वेगेन तौ चोभौ गजगच्छपौ एकपादेन धर्मात्मा भक्षयित्वा तदामिषम् निषादविषयम् हत्वा शाखया पतगोत्तमः प्रहर्षमतुलम् लेभे मोक्षयित्वा महामुनीन् स तु तेन प्रहर्षेण द्विगुणीकृतविक्रमः अमृतानयनार्थम् वै चकारमतिमान्मतिम् अयोजालानि निर्मथ्य भित्त्वा रत्नगृहम् वरम् महेन्द्रभवनाद्गुप्तमाजहारामृतम् ततः तम् महर्षिगणैर्जुष्टम् सुपर्णकृतलक्षणम् नाम्ना सुभद्रम् न्यग्रोधम् ददर्शधनदानुजः तम् तु गत्वा परम् पारम् समुद्रस्य नदीपतेः ददर्शाश्रममेकान्ते पुण्ये रम्ये वनान्तरे तत्र कृष्णाजिनधरम् जटामण्डलधारिणम् ददर्शनियताहारम् मारीचम् नाम राक्षसम् स रावणः समागम्य विधिवत्तेन रक्षसा मारीचेनार्चितो राजा सर्वकामैरमानुषैः तम् स्वयम् पूजयित्वा च भोजनेनोदकेन च अर्थोपहितया वाचा मारीचो वाक्यमब्रवीत् कच्चित्ते कुशलम् राजन् लङ्कायाम् राक्षसेश्वरा केनार्थेन पुनस्त्वम् वै तूर्णमेव इहागतः एवमुक्तो महातेजा मारीचेन स रावणः ततः पश्चादिदम् वाक्यमब्रवीद्वाक्यकोविदः इत्यार्षे श्रीमद् रामायणे वाल्मीकीये आदिकाव्ये अरण्यकाण्डे पञ्चत्रिंशः सर्गः।
अरण्यकाण्ड कैंटो 35 रावणा कॉल्स ऑन मारीचा वंस मोर। Hearing that nerve-wracking report of Shurpanakha determining his duty and granting leave to disperse to his ministers, Ravana forthwith departed from his palace, so it is said. Pursuing that object in mind and viewing it properly, fully weighing the merits and demerits of the question and ascertaining his own strength and weakness and finally making up his mind to launch on that undertaking of abducting Sita positively, Ravana, with a resolute mind, next proceeded to his charming carriage shed, so the tradition goes. Covertly reaching the carriage shed, Ravana, the ruler of ogres, commanded the charioteer in the following words, "Let my chariot be got ready." Commanded thus, the charioteer, who took quick strides, got fully ready in a trice, an excellent chariot liked by him. Mounting the golden car, decked with jewels, which could go wherever one liked and was drawn by mules with heads resembling those of fiends, adorned with ornaments of gold and the glorious Ravana, a younger half-brother of Kubera, the lord of riches and the suzerain lord of ogres, drove in that chariot, which made a sound like thunder towards the ocean, the lord of rivers and streams. Having taken his seat in that chariot, which could go wherever one liked, the ten-headed Ravana, the suzerain lord of ogres, the avowed enemy of gods, and the slayer of the foremost among ascetics, who was being fanned with a white whisk and had a white canopy spread over him, who shone brightly like a glossy cat's-eye gem and was adorned with ornaments of refined gold, and who was distinguished by 10 necks and 20 arms and attractive paraphernalia, and looked like a great mountain with 10 peaks, cast his splendor like a cloud in the sky, encircled with lightning and accompanied by a flock of herons. The mighty ogre moved on, surveying the sea coast crested with mountains and crowded with trees, thousands in number, bearing varieties of flowers and fruits. The coastline was adorned on all sides with lotus ponds full of cool and auspicious water, and with spacious grounds of hermitages scattered with sacrificial altars. It looked most charming with its plantain groves and was embellished with coconut, sal, palmyra and tamala trees, as also with other trees in full blossom. It was graced with foremost rishis, seers of Vedic mantras, living on an exceedingly restricted diet, nagas, a species of semi-divine being, having the head and trunk of a human being and the lower extremities of a serpent. Suparnas, a class of bird-like beings of a semi-divine character, Gandharvas and Kinnaras, another species of semi-divine beings, having a human figure with the head of a horse in thousands. The coastline was further graced by the presence of Siddhas, who had subdued their passion, and Charanas, as well as by the mind-born sons of Brahma the Creator, Vaikhanasas, an order of ascetics born of Brahma's nails and endowed with the mystic power of assuming many forms, Mashas, another class of ascetics, Valakhilyas, a special order of ascetics born of the hair of Brahma and possessing the size of a human thumb, and Marichipas, another order of ascetics living on the sun's rays alone. It was thronged in thousands with celestial nymphs adorned with heavenly jewels and garlands and endowed with ethereal forms and conversant with the technique of amorous sports and sexual enjoyment. Again, it was resorted to and visited by graceful consorts of heavenly beings and frequented by hosts of gods and demons subsisting on nectar, the drink of heavenly beings. The coastline was crowded with swans, herons and frogs, and graced with cranes. It was strewn with vaidurya-like stones of a dark hue, and was alluvial and cool due to the softening influence of the ocean. Driving at full speed through the air, Ravana, the younger half-brother of Kubera, the lord of riches, beheld on all sides spacious aerial cars of a whitish color, festooned with celestial wreaths and enlivened by both instrumental and vocal music belonging to those who had won the higher worlds by virtue of their austerities and coursing according to one's will, and also beheld Gandharvas and celestial nymphs. He proceeded further, beholding delightful forests pleasing to the olfactory sense of sandal trees, whose roots exuded a sap in the form of resin, and also surveying forests of excellent aguru trees and groves of fragrant takola trees of superior quality and laden with fruits, also the flowers of tamala trees and shrubs of pepper, heaps of pearls getting dried up on the shore, rocks, as also heaps of excellent coral and similarly peaks of gold, as well as of silver, charming crystal and wonderful caskets, as also cities provided with wealth and food grains, crowded with jewels of womanhood and thick with elephants, horses and chariots. He saw on the shore of the ocean a level piece of ground, smooth on every side, fanned by breezes which were soft to the touch and delightful as heaven. There he saw a banyan tree, looking like a cloud, and resorted to on all sides by ascetics, whose prominent branches extended up to 100 yojanas, 800 miles, all around. It was to a bough of this tree that Garuda, the king of birds and the carrier of Lord Vishnu, who was possessed of extraordinary might, flew, taking in his claws an elephant and the gigantic tortoise for repast. With his enormous weight, the very mighty Garuda, the foremost of birds, forthwith broke all of a sudden the bough under which was thick with leaves. There, under that tree, were assembled foremost rishis, seers of Vedic mantras, belonging to the categories of Vaikhanasas, Mashas, Valakhilyas, Marichipas and Dhumras, who inhaled smoke while remaining suspended from the boughs of trees, head downwards. Carrying with speed that broken bough, 100 yojanas long, as also the elephant and the tortoise, both in one claw, and eating up their flesh in the air itself, destroying with the bough the territory of the Nishadas, who lived by hunting and fishery, etc., and delivering the eminent ascetics, Garuda, the foremost of birds, whose mind was set on righteousness, derived excessive joy beyond comparison. Finding his prowess redoubled by that excessive joy, the talented Garuda, for his part, actually made up his mind to fetch nectar from heaven. Crushing the iron latticework and demolishing the excellent jeweled safe, kept protected by that latticework, he then secretly bore away the nectar from the palace of the mighty Indra. Ravana, a younger half-brother of Kubera, beheld that banyan tree, Subhadra by name, resorted to by hosts of eminent rishis, the seers of Vedic mantras, and which retained a vestige of the havoc in the shape of destruction of a gigantic bough wrought by Garuda. Reaching that other shore of the ocean, the Lord of Rivers, Ravana beheld a hermitage in a lonely, holy and charming part of the forest. There he saw an ogre, Maricha by name, clad in a black antelope skin and wearing a coil of matted locks and living on a restricted diet. Meeting that ogre with due ceremony, the said King Ravana was entertained by Maricha with all luxuries unknown to man. Entertaining him personally with food and water, Maricha spoke to him in the following meaningful words. "I hope, O King, all is well in your Lanka, O ruler of ogres. With what object have you called here so quickly again?" Questioned in these words by Maricha, the celebrated Ravana, who was invested with extraordinary glory and was a master of expression, then replied as follows. Thus ends Canto 35 in the Aranyakanda of the glorious Ramayana of Valmiki, the work of a rishi and the oldest epic.